WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Student protests at college campuses over the war in Gaza intensifying this week. At the University of Texas at Austin, dozens arrested as protesters and police in riot gear clashed. And in New York's Columbia University, officials say they may expel students who have now barricaded themselves inside a hall. ABC News chief legal analyst Dan Abrams says the moves by schools to order out protesters is more about First Amendment rights. It's about what protesters are doing.
It's that they're shutting down buildings. They're trespassing on private property. And as a result, that's not protected.
Talks for a ceasefire and hostage release deal have resumed between Israel and Hamas, the U.S. urging Hamas to accept the latest proposal. The hush money trial of Donald Trump resumed today, with the judge holding Trump in contempt of court for gag order violations. Trump was fined $9,000. And another round of storms on the march from Texas to the Midwest today. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Protesters are calling for the University of Wisconsin in Madison to cut ties with Israel. They've been camping on campus since yesterday morning. Pro-Palestine demonstrators across the country started building similar encampments in April. About 200 people rallied Monday at UW-Milwaukee. Crime is going down, but people tell their local leaders public safety is their top concern. Danny Thompson is Waukesha's police chief. He says people should tell candidates this election year to work with local law enforcement.
One is helping training is important. Two is educate our kids not to get involved in crime and drugs and things of that nature. And three is that engagement piece and being in partnership with the community.
Thompson speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Richland Center High School choir students traveled to UW-Platteville Saturday for the Wisconsin School Music Association State Solo and Ensemble Festival. A number of students did very well Saturday. Nine soloists received first ratings for their classical solos. A duet also received a first. There were also 11 second ratings handed out, 7 in classical music and 4 in musical theater. A Dane County man is charged with sending a threatening message to the campaign office of Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde. Authorities say the message from 72-year-old Joseph Quaid indicated the campaign office might blow up. Quaid admitted to police he sometimes gets a little political, but he didn't remember making the threat. He also conceded that he sometimes has too much to drink and gets carried away, but he's trying not to do it anymore. He's due in court later this week on a felony charge of making a terrorist threat. And that's what you need to know.
Game 5, the Bucks and the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA Playoffs. The Milwaukee Bucks at home tonight with their backs to the wall, down 3-1 to the Pacers. Doc Rivers.
Here's the deal. We have 2 games left at home. They have 1 game left at home, right? That's how you can look at it. And so the first thing is we have to win the first game at home. And then we can talk about the rest after that.
Baseball, the Brewers down 1-0, bottom of the 9th, when Jack Bowers gets called for interference with the catcher, manager Pat Murphy, after getting ejected from the game.
They have to call it, it's backswing interference. You know, I'm not a rules expert, but the rule says that if on a swing on a third strike, the backswing interferes with the catcher catching the ball, then you can call backswing interference. That backswing happened after the ball was already past him. So, in my opinion, that's a bad call. They made a mistake and they changed the game.
That's the Brewers, Pat Murphy, with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A high-pressure system is built in, allowing our skies to be bright and beautiful today, with seasonal high temperatures climbing to the mid-70s. A few more fronts swing through the state overnight, firing up showers and even some rumbles of thunder. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
The Todd Almaz Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Conrad returns from his long weekend off, and I head back to Green Bay to welcome musician Eric Chellin from the band The Mascot Theory and actor Kurt Krause.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. News from the Center, WRCE.
Keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
What is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a very big show planned for you today. I am going to go into the vault to talk about Bill Barr. It's not just about the interview this past weekend with CNN's Caitlin Collins, though that is about as scary as it can possibly get. That interview is but the latest in an incredibly long line of cover-ups and corruption by the former attorney general. And frankly, I think that interview was his re-auditioning to become attorney general again. He has been a bag man for Presidents Reagan and Bush, and again for Donald Trump. He is, in my estimation, one of the most corrupt and scariest, smartest men on the planet. And we need to be paying deep attention to what is coming out of that man's mouth, because it should frighten every American. But we also are going to have a special guest. I'm really excited. I love it when I get to talk to reporters. We've got reporter Rory Linane from the Journal Sentinel to talk to us about what I think is near and dear to every Wisconsinite, and that is education and our public schools. It's not just about MPS and their funding challenges, but public schools across the state are facing dire funding challenges. In addition, we've watched teacher salaries in the state of Wisconsin go down a lot since 2010. We're going to talk to reporter Rory Linane about that today in the 3 o'clock hour. You're not going to want to miss any of this. But I also wanted to let you know that Busted Pencils has a really special show going on. They are going to be live and on location from the Madison Tap Room of the Minocqua Brewing Company today at 6 p.m. So you can tune in to hear Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. First live remote show together in person. Again, that's going to be 6 p.m. The Madison Tap Room of the Minocqua Brewing Company. How fun. They're going to do this, I think, once a month throughout the summer. So you can see more of these folks to talk about public education advocacy. So appropriate for today. Yes, they will be live at Minocqua Brewing Company once a month throughout the summer to promote public education. Also, got to promote big event happening in Waukesha. I broadcast from the AUK. The former MAGA president is going to be in Waukesha tomorrow. We're going to have special coverage here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You're not going to want to miss it. I've got an incredible guest. Former Republican congressman and 2020 presidential candidate, now former Republican, Joe Walsh is going to be joining me tomorrow. You are not going to want to miss this show. We also are going to have live on scene reporting coming from Stuart J. Waddle, Civic Media's Southeastern Wisconsin news reporter. So it is a busy week, to say the very, very least. I also wanted to let you know about another bit of special Civic coverage coming up. The 3rd Congressional District Forum, Wednesday evening, that is today, is the second of four forums being hosted. This is at the Student Union Theater in La Crosse on the UW La Crosse campus. That is going to air tonight, 6:30 to 8 p.m. on WLCX La Crosse, WCFW Chippewa Falls, RCE Richland Center, and WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. Don't miss that. Again, the third CD is quite the contest coming up for the fall. Of course, that's Derek Van Orten's district. We've got State Representative Katrina Shanklin, Eric Wilson, and Rebecca Cook all vying for the 3rd Congressional District. So don't miss that. Coverage starts this evening at 6:30. But let's talk about Bill Barr, shall we? I spend a lot of time thinking about what it means to be an attorney, what it means, that is tomorrow. Today's Tuesday. That's going to be tomorrow, Wednesday at 6:30. Thank you, Anya. I spend a lot of time thinking about what it means to be an attorney and what it means to be a judge. And especially when you are a lawyer and you work in government, you really hold that position in public trust. You're in a privileged position. You often know a lot about challenges and political problems that are happening for chief executives, whether that's at a county level or a city, a state, and even the United States. And when I think about what it means to be a lawyer, what it means to be a judge, what public trust is that you really have to separate and know very clearly that you do not work for individuals or political parties, that you truly work for the public. And that means you have to have very bright lines and a very strong moral compass, because difficult issues will no doubt come to you as a legal counsel to government actors and elected officials. Politics will enter into those analyses. But you have to guard yourself against that. I don't mean to be ignorant of or falsely ignore politics or political consequences. But at the end of the day, you do not work for individuals or political parties. You work for the public. And the public expects of its judges and lawyers that work in government that they act in the public's best interest. Now, there, of course, is some theoretical gymnastics that I've heard from lawyers from time to time. Well, I so much believe in this elected official that whatever they want to do is, of course, in the public interest. That's garbage. And every lawyer of any worth knows that you cannot ever confuse the individual interests of an elected official for the public interest. Because there will come a time for every government lawyer and every judge, where the elected official that you admire, that you support, the party that you may think is most trustworthy with the best policies, where they will do something or ask something of you that is beyond the law, that is, in fact, illegal, or if not illegal, unethical. What we have come to find out about Attorney General Barr is that the man knows no such bright line. To say that his ethics are situational would be to suggest that he has ethics in the first place. To say that his moral compass is broken would be to suggest that he has a moral compass in the first place. But he does not. Bill Barr has been the bag man for three presidents, and he's positioning himself to do so again should Donald Trump be elected. And this whole problem of what Bill Barr represents, was really, it came to me and I wanted to talk about it because the New York Times put out a piece this morning talking about Trump's frustration with his current lawyer that is defending him in the voter manipulation case in Lower Manhattan. This is about the hush money payments that they then orchestrated a cover-up about and lied about in their federal election disclosure that the former MAGA president did. And the article from the New York Times goes on to explain that Trump's lawyer, Mr. Todd Blanche, is now in the, quote, Trump blast zone, and that he is known, Mr. Trump is known to often harangue his legal team walking into court immediately after court in private, and that he is fundamentally extraordinarily frustrated that his lawyers simply won't do precisely and exactly what he is directing them to do. This illustrates the problem that I am talking about. Now, Mr. Trump is a private citizen right now. And even in that capacity, you can see the tension between his attorney, Mr. Blanche, and his client, Mr. Trump. In that his client wants him to deploy legal strategies and tactics and make arguments that Mr. Blanche thinks will not actually be helpful to his client. That's the mildest version of this problem, right? The worst version of the problem is that your client tells you, hey, I want to do this illegal thing and you're going to help me figure out how to make it sound maybe legal. And that problem is exacerbated and made even worse if it happens when that person is an elected official. And it's interesting to me because this tension that's at the heart of many legal engagements, a client that doesn't want to take your advice, ethical questions, maybe pushing the bounds of the law, this is where those lawyer duties really matter. But I don't think they matter at all to Bill Barr. And it's interesting, of course, because Trump is facing this voter manipulation case in a state court in Lower Manhattan. It's not a case brought by the feds. Do you remember who was the attorney general when these issues came to light? Oh yeah, that's Bill Barr. Do you think it might be the case that basically Bill Barr gutted the investigation into Mr. Trump about these both state and federal crimes? Oh yeah. He did. And we know that because the former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, if you're watching me on YouTube or X or Facebook, you can see the book I'm about to show you. We know this because the former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, Jeffrey Berman, told us that Bill Barr killed the investigation into Trump's federal election crimes related to these hush money payments. So all of this matters. It matters today. We're going to dig in. We're going to dig in deeply. If you have questions or comments, and folks, we're going all the way back to Iran-Contra, because that's where Bill Barr's storied history as the bag man for Republican presidents truly begins. If you want to join our conversation, if you've got comments, questions, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to take a couple of quick messages and then get right back to it with the bag man for Republican presidents, Bill Barr.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
As a mom and a teacher, I've done it all. Fundraisers, field trips, school assemblies. It's what we do for our children. Whether you're a public school parent, educator, or both, we share one goal, giving our children the best education. The Wisconsin Education Association Council looks forward this school year to partnering with you. Our children's success depends on it. Join us at weac.org. Welcome back to school.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again? Do you ever feel this?
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Beautiful day out there in southeastern Wisconsin. I hope everybody gets a chance to go outside. I've not really been outside today. I've been reading, reviewing my history about Bill Barr, because I am disturbed, deeply disturbed. We are going to get to Bill Barr's interview this past weekend or last week with Caitlin Collins of CNN. But we can't understand that without going through Bill Barr's bagman corruption dating back to Ronald Reagan and Iran-Contra, which I still think is an incredibly euphemistic expression. If you want to join the conversation, if you're around back then, you remember Ollie North, I can't recall. Feel free to share. Feel free to ask questions. 855-752-4842. Let's take a couple callers. I've got Carmela from Milwaukee. I think congratulations are in order, Carmela. Happy wedding from this past weekend.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that. Yeah, I do remember the Iran Contra and Ollie North. I had no idea that Bill Barr was involved. And I haven't listened to the recent interview, but my curiosity comes, or question comes from, now Bill Barr in the last few years since Trump left office has not sided with him and has actually been bad-mouthing him. How do you think that's going to go over? Do you think he still wants to be a bagman or interviewing for a cabinet position? I don't see that happening to you.
Oh, yeah, that is exactly what is going on. The man who, you know, conveniently stepped down as attorney general in December sounded zero warning bells. And I'll get to the Mueller report. I will get to Iran-Contra and I will get to Iraqgate, the sale of weapons of mass destruction to Saddam Hussein under George H.W. Bush, which Bill Barr also covered up. Yeah, it's all of this stuff. Yeah. He's like, oh, well, you know, and we'll listen to the tape. He basically says, I don't take Trump at his word, and then proceeds to explain that he's going to vote for Donald Trump. So, yes, Bill Barr, opportunist extraordinaire, bagman extraordinaire. Yeah, he's signing up again, Carmela, to be Donald Trump's AG should he win. Dave from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, hi, Maggie. Yeah, you know, the judicial branch, as you probably know, probably agree, is easily the most politicized of the three branches. It's also the most powerful because, you know, you can't really appeal from appellate court decisions or from, of course, the Supreme Court. But, you know, one of the worst manifestations of this politicization was during the term was by Bill Barr. You know, Republicans and Democrats, both parties do this. They use executions, you know, prisoners, as a political strategy because there's a subset of the population that's just grotesque, and you know, they want to see their blood. You know, it's the interest of the mob. And in the run-up to the 2020 election, Bill Barr, after 20 years of no federal executions, schedule, I think it was 12 or 13 of them, as a campaign strategy. I mean, there's no question that was the reason. That's how it was timed and everything. And I just want to say that Bill Barr is a monster. And, you know, like others, he used executions as a political strategy.
I couldn't agree with you more, Dave. I've talked about executions on the show before. The cruelty is the point. The treating people as if they aren't human or depriving people of dignity, that is the point. If I have time today, I'll get to South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. I don't know if we're going to get there because I want to be sure that each and every one of you get to travel back through history with me to remember how Bill Barr got to the point where, as Carmelo pointed out, all of his past criticisms of Donald Trump, that he's unhinged, unbalanced, a threat to democracy, all of that has now gone out the window. Why would Bill Barr do such a thing? Well, you need only look to Bill Barr's history to remind ourselves why. There is no ethics. There is no morality. He will use any cruelty, any argument, any leverage, any power to aggrandize himself and basically pull the strings of presidents. Dick from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks so much, Dick, for calling.
Well, here's a guy, in my opinion, had he not got his mitts on the Mueller report, turned it into, I bought it, but, you know, you're reading, what, 30% of it? But if that would have been, you know, and then he got his mitts on it, and it didn't come out for, what, almost a month or 6 weeks later? Had you got that in its entirety, I think he would have been impeached.
Oh, I totally agree, Dick. The Mueller report cover-up is one in a series of at least seven knowing cover-ups and conspiracies, I'll use that word, that Bill Barr has basically helped orchestrate to help conceal crimes committed by presidents Reagan, H.W. Bush, and now Donald Trump to hide crimes of past presidents from the American public. He is at the center of all of these, Iran-Contra, Iraqgate, the Mueller report, the voter manipulation cover-up, all kinds of stuff. I'm going to go through each and every one of them. Let's dig in. And if you haven't seen Jeffrey Berman's book, maybe I'll take a flyer and try to get him on the show. It's called Holding the Line. He's the former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. That is the federal district that would have had jurisdiction over the voter manipulation case that Donald Trump is now on trial for under state law in New York City. Recall, it was in July of 2019 that federal prosecutors under the U.S. Attorney's Office, led by then Attorney General Bill Barr, came out and publicly said that no one would be charged other than Michael Cohen in the voter manipulation case. It was in July of 2019. Why would you not go after the kingpin if you're going to lock up one of the underlings, right? Like if Michael Cohen, who again, he was the only one federally charged, if he committed a crime, well, who was ordering him around? Who was directing Michael Cohen to commit this federal crime? Well, that would be Donald Trump. So why wouldn't the attorney general do what is required when you work in the public trust and prosecute the man who is in charge of that criminal conspiracy? Huh? This is from Jeffrey Berman's book. I'm not going to read directly from it. This is from Washington Post coverage of Berman's book. Berman says Barr stifled the campaign finance investigations emanating from the Cohen case and even floated seeking a reversal of Cohen's conviction, just like Barr would do later with another Trump ally, Michael Flynn. Barr also intervened in the case of another Trump ally, Roger Stone, to seek a lighter sentence than career prosecutors wanted. We will return to Jeffrey Berman's book, Holding the Line. We're going to take the farm update. Do not go anywhere because I am just getting started on the most corrupt attorney general in modern American history, the bagman of not just Donald Trump, but at least two other presidents. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Butterflies are likely beginning for our six Alice in Dairyland finalists as they prepare to head to Door County. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. And we'll introduce you to another one of our finalists next.
Any lender can tell you about banking, but few know the business ins and outs of farming and ranching. That's where Compeer Financial stands apart. We are here with unparalleled ag industry expertise, a forward-thinking mindset to identify your challenges and opportunities, and the ability to support smart decision-making for your operation. Visit Compeer.com to get started today. Compeer Financial is an equal opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Michaela Kitten is from Big Bend, Wisconsin, and she's excited about the possibilities of being Wisconsin's next agriculture ambassador. She said she knew it the first time she met Alice in Dairyland.
I was the 2019 Waukesha County Fair, so the fair. That was the first time I met Alice in person and got to spend some time with her, and it really just launched my love for educating people about agriculture. Waukesha County is very urban, and so our county fair is very much people that have never seen cows before, never really understood where milk comes from, where their food comes from, so I got to spend that time really educating them about that, and then Alice just seemed like the perfect next step to take that to the next level, from a county level to a state level.
Michaela King from Big Bend, one of the six finalists that will be heading towards Door County on Friday to continue the interview phase of the process. Saturday evening, the finale and announcement of our next Alice in Dairyland. That'll be in Sturgeon Bay.
This is Mike.
Hey.
He's getting a quick haircut at the local barber school.
It's only $5. How bad can it?
Yikes. Don't be like Mike when it comes to weed control. Get the job done right the first time and plan ahead with Status Herbicide. It delivers elite corn safety and reliable performance, so you don't have to deal with more problems than you bargained for.
No.
Status Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
And in honor of Arbor Day last Friday, McCain Foods decided to do a little planting of their own. McCain Foods is the world's largest producer of frozen potatoes, and they put their shoulder into it, planting 18,000 trees across Wisconsin, including the local Plover community. Some of the trees are also planted in the Douglas County Forest. The employees got involved. Plenty of growers were also involved in the project, and a few local elementary school kids got involved, too. That's a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. Don't forget, anytime you need it, go to MidwestFarmReport.com, Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, or our new Midwest Farm Report Facebook page as well. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A high-pressure system is built in, allowing our skies to be bright and beautiful today, with seasonal high temperatures climbing to the mid-70s. A few more fronts swing through the state overnight, firing up showers and even some rumbles of thunder. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome in Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News, and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. We'll discuss 3rd District congressional politics and more.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I've heard that they let you feel in the shores. The only way to make friendships grow. But I'm too afraid now. Yeah. I put my arms around.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to have special coverage tomorrow on my show for Donald Trump's visit to Waukesha. But if you want to hear our news coverage of it, do not worry. You can go to mad.radio or waukradio.com, and you will see at the top banner our local daily news podcast. Just click on that and check it out. We are also now available to you on your smart speakers. So just say to your smart speaker, play Civic Media or your call letters for your local station like WMDX, and you will hear Civic Media's best coming to you on your smart speaker. I am talking about Bill Barr, who I think is one of the most dangerous men on the planet. There is no moral compass. There is no ethical line he will not cross. And the first scandal that he helped cover up that I'm talking about is, in fact, the scandal that Donald Trump is facing state criminal charges for right now, ongoing in court in Lower Manhattan. And that is the voter manipulation case. We know that Barr covered it up because the U.S. attorney working in the Southern District of New York, where that federal crime would have been charged, a guy by the name of Jeffrey Berman, wrote a book published in September of 2022 called Holding the Line, and he told us that Barr killed the investigation. Here is Berman writing in the book. While Michael Cohen had pleaded guilty, our office continued to pursue investigations related to other possible campaign violations, including those by Trump. When Barr took over as attorney general in February 2019, he not only tried to kill the ongoing investigations, but incredibly suggested that Cohen's conviction on campaign finance charges be reversed. Barr summoned Rob Kuzami in late February to challenge the basis of Cohen's plea, as well as the reasoning behind pursuing similar campaign finance charges against other individuals, including Trump. Now, brief footnote here. Rob Kuzami, you may be thinking, who is Rob Kuzami? How does this guy relate? Well, first of all, yours truly is connected to Rob Kuzami. Why? Because Rob Kuzami used to be the general counsel for none other than Deutsche Bank, who was one of my clients when I worked at White & Case in New York back in the early 2000s. He was appointed as the chief deputy U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, and he served in that position until March of 2019, okay? So Barr comes in February of 2019, Kuzami is gone by the end of March, and the then U.S. attorney for the Southern District, Jeffrey Berman, is telling us about what was happening once Barr took over the reins of the attorney general's office. Okay, so that's where we are in the story. The directive that Barr gave Rob Kuzami, which was amplified that same day by a follow-up call from O'Callaghan, was explicit. Not a single investigative step could be taken. Not a single document in our possession could be reviewed until the issue was resolved. The issue being what to do about Donald Trump. About 6 weeks later, Kuzami returned to D.C. for another meeting about Cohen. He was accompanied by a bunch of other staff from the DOJ and the U.S. Attorney's Office. Barr was in the room along with Stephen Engel, the head of the Office of Legal Counsel, and others from Maine Justice. Summarizing the story, Berman wondered out loud exactly why Bill Barr had sabotaged extending their investigation that could lead to an indictment of Trump when he left office. Obviously, this is incredibly problematic. An attorney general stepped in to stop an investigation, an active investigation into a sitting president. Now, there's been a longstanding internal policy of the DOJ that they won't charge a sitting president. But the investigation itself, why not complete the investigation? Again, it is just abject corruption. This is not the only time that Bill Barr has committed what I think is criminal obstruction of justice. He also ordered, by the way, John Kerry to be investigated for possibly violating the Logan Act, which is engaging in foreign policy while you're not in office. Oh yeah, and Donald Trump's doing that right now, too. I wonder if Barr would investigate Donald Trump for that. Another investigation that Bill Barr killed. There was a federal investigation into Turkish bankers. But remember who's the president of Turkey? Erdogan? One of Trump's, this guy's a real strong leader. He really likes these semi-dictators, wannabe dictators. That Erdogan is one of them. Erdogan complained to Trump. Trump tells Barr. Barr kills the investigation into the Turkish bankers. And of course, I mean, we had callers before that mentioned the Mueller report. That's probably, at least in the most recent time, one of the most disgusting violations of public trust that Bill Barr has committed. Because what did he do? Mueller finishes his report. Barr buried it for weeks, kept it from coming out. Weeks and weeks and weeks went by. And then remember the press conference we all tuned in to watch it? He then got up and lied about what was in the Mueller report repeatedly. And oh, by the way, me calling it a lie isn't my editorial. A federal judge concluded that he lied. In a 23-page opinion, U.S. District Court Judge Reggie Walton, and by the way, Reggie Walton was appointed by George W. Bush. In a 23-page opinion, U.S. District Court Judge Reggie Walton said Barr's effort to spin the report before it was released to the public raised serious doubts about whether the Justice Department faithfully applied the law when deleting certain information from the publicly disclosed version after it finally came out. Here, this is this federal judge writing about the attorney general. The court cannot reconcile certain public representations made by Attorney General Barr with the findings in the Mueller report. That's a nice way of saying he lied. The inconsistencies between Attorney General Barr's statements made at a time when the public did not have access to the redacted version of the Mueller report to assess the veracity of his statements, and portions of the redacted version of the Mueller report that conflict with those statements caused the court to seriously question whether Attorney General Barr made a calculated attempt to influence public discourse about the Mueller report in favor of President Trump, despite certain findings in the redacted version of the Mueller report to the contrary. That is a federal judge saying that Bill Barr manipulated the public to shield Donald Trump, and he did so by lying to the public's face. That is our former attorney general. That is the bagman of bagmans. Donald Trump doesn't need Roy Cohn. He needs more Bill Barr. A federal judge, 23 pages. Again, the judge's name is Reggie Walton. You can go read it for yourself. That is, I'm quoting from an article in Politico by Josh Gerstein from March 5th of 2020. He lied about, he didn't release the Mueller report, then he lied about it, and then the redacted version actually redacted out much of the stuff that could show that Bill Barr was lying. That's what that judge is talking about. But I promised you that we would talk about Iran-Contra, so let's do that. In 1992, this is the first time Bill Barr was attorney general, because he's been attorney general a number of times. The New York Times writer William Safire referred to Bill Barr back in 1992 as, quote, cover-up General Barr. That is the New York Times in 1992. And he was calling him cover-up General Barr because he buried evidence of then-President George H.W. Bush's involvement in Reagan's scheme, basically to steal the 1980 election, from Jimmy Carter. This was the headline on Christmas Day, 1992, in the New York Times. It was in all capitals. Attorney General Barr had covered up evidence of crimes by Reagan and Bush in the Iran-Contra scandal. Here is the photo of the headline. Again, if you're watching me on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, you can see the headline. Bush pardoned six in Iran affair, averting Weinberger trial. Prosecutor assails cover-up. The cover-up there is the cover-up orchestrated by Bill Barr. Let's get into those details, shall we? Because I certainly want to know what exactly happened here. There was an independent counsel that was appointed to investigate Iran-Contra. It's a guy by the name of Lawrence Walsh. And at the time, in 92, he was seeking basically private records from then-President H.W. Bush. He had subpoenaed them. And now Walsh had been appointed independent counsel in 1986, so this is 6 years later, and he was still trying to obtain records. Here is what we now know. The president of Iran in 1980 was a guy by the name of Bani Sadr, and he went on the record and said that the Reagan campaign had reached out to Iran before the 1980 election to ask Iran to hold on to the hostages in exchange for weapons. And they did that so that Jimmy Carter would not have the victory of getting the hostages freed. So again, voter manipulation just back in 1979 and 80, and again, ending up with Bill Barr covering it up as Attorney General in 1992. He went on the record with the Christian Science Monitor. This is the former president of Iran in 1980. He went on the record in 2013, and he says, the Ayatollah Khomeini and Ronald Reagan, this is a quote from the Christian Science Monitor, Ayatollah Khomeini and Ronald Reagan organized a clandestine negotiation, later known as the October Surprise, which prevented the attempts by myself and then U.S. President Jimmy Carter to free the hostages before the 1980 U.S. presidential election took place. The fact that they were not released tipped the results of the election in favor of Ronald Reagan. So where does Bill Barr come into this some, 6 years later in 1992? The independent counsel, again, had zeroed in on these private documents that were in possession of Reagan's former defense secretary. Many of you, if you're of a certain age, a certain vintage, will remember this guy's name, Caspar Weinberger. And those documents showed that Reagan was in on the deal. He knew what was going on. President Bush's, the HW after Reagan, had a diary in addition that showed Reagan's involvement. And Weinberger was preparing to testify that Bush knew about the deal to hold the hostages prior to the 1980 election and had actually participated in the deal making. Because Weinberger wanted to avoid federal prison himself. So I got to take a breath here. I hope every single one of you comes back. I got a great guest that's going to be coming up. We will not leave this story untold. We will continue to dig in, and I would be remiss if I did not say that. My thanks to Tom Hartman for helping put together all of this information. I have supplemented it, but about 2 weeks ago, Tom Hartman put out a Substack about Bill Barr. Again, with Bill Barr's statements this past week to CNN's Caitlin Collins, I couldn't leave this story untold. Don't go anywhere.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety.
What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now that might be okay for Eric Hovde, his businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower healthcare costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
So you're a tough guy, like you really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type. I'm the bad guy.
I don't think I'm the bad guy, I think Bill Barr is. I'm Maggie Dawn, you are listening to Civic Media. If you want to join the conversation, text lines blowing up. Thank you all for participating. Want to take a breath, let Danny from Madison weigh in. Danny from Madison, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Actually, gosh, but I got a question for you. You lightly went over something that I think needs to be gone deeper into. You said that the DOJ does not want to touch a sitting president. Why aren't they faithfully applying the law to a sitting president?
Well, Danny, ain't that the rub? And of course, why does all of this matter? Let's zoom right back into the present moment. We have a Supreme Court that is about to carve out some kind of sacrosanct immunity for presidents. One of the rationales, at least baked in to the DOJ's idea that they won't charge a sitting president, is that the president could face criminal prosecution after leaving the Oval Office. But if the Supreme Court is about to wave a magic wand and declare immunity, well then why, Danny is exactly right from Oshkosh, why wouldn't the DOJ be investigating and potentially charging or bringing all of that evidence to light while a president is still in the Oval Office? If you have to impeach and convict before criminal prosecution, the DOJ better step to it, you would think. Maybe it's time to review DOJ policy. By the way, this is indeed one of the arguments people have been making about Merrick Garland's weak-kneed approach to all of this. Merrick Garland being the current attorney general. We've made that argument here. Where is Josh Call? Where are state attorneys general? Seems like New York and Georgia are the only ones doing their job around here, which gets me back to point one. When you take a job as a government lawyer, you do so in the public's trust, which means pursuing the evidence wherever it may lead and being transparent with the public, to not blink when you must pursue those who are extraordinarily powerful. In other words, the inverse of the corrupt bagman that is Bill Barr is the fearless government lawyer. We need more of that, don't you think? But let's return to where we are. Thanks, Danny from Madison, for your call. Just to call out a couple of the texters, thanks so much. Catherine from Madison texting in. Maggie, I remember the newspapers at the time reported short paragraphs on back pages about the Iran-Contra players selling illegal drugs to pay for the weapons that Congress had specifically allowed. Oh, yeah, that's the Contra part. It goes deep. We could do a whole nother show just reviewing and remembering what actually happened in Iran-Contra, the U.S.'s involvement in Central and South America throughout the 80s. This is all incredibly problematic stuff. All illegal. Kurt from Madison asking, Maggie, what are the crimes? The crime is obstruction of justice. The crime is conspiracies. Vast. The crime is treason. Let us continue. We left off with Casper Weinberger trying to get himself out of potential federal criminal danger and being preparing to testify that Bush knew about, H.W. Bush knew about the deal for the hostages. Again, arms for hostages. How do they pay for the arms? Selling of drugs. See Central and South America. That's a story for another time because I just want to stay on Bill Barr. So what did Bush do? He called up Bill Barr, his attorney general. Again, this has been Bill Barr's record. And what did Bill Barr do? Here's what Bill Barr said. Okay, this is in April 2001, the University of Virginia's Miller Center was compiling oral presidential histories and interviewed Bill Barr about his time in the H.W. Bush White House. This is what he said. There were some people arguing just for a part or for Weinberger, and I said at the time, no, in for a penny, in for a pound, Barr told the interviewer. I went over and told the president I thought he should not only pardon Casper Weinberger, but while he was at it, he should pardon about five others. And that's exactly what Bush did. He pardoned Weinberger on Christmas Eve when maybe Americans wouldn't notice, but they noticed. The second paragraph of that New York Times story by David Johnson explains this. Mr. Weinberger was scheduled to stand trial on January 5th on charges that he lied to Congress about his knowledge of the arms sales to Iran and efforts by other countries to underwrite the Nicaraguan rebels, a case that was expected to focus on Mr. Weinberger's private notes that contained references to Mr. Bush's endorsement of the secret shipments to Iran. Wow. Wow. And oh, by the way, of course, Bill Barr had rejected the House's calls for an independent prosecutor related to the next Bill Barr cover-up, Iraqgate. Because, yeah, it doesn't stop with just the Iran-Contra affair. It goes into Iraqgate as well. Because that reporter William Sapphire had started to refer to Bill Barr as the cover-up general instead of the attorney general during the investigation, during the scandal of HW illegally selling weapons of mass destruction to Saddam Hussein. This is what became referred to as Iraqgate. Just to get this straight, arms for hostages in Iran and selling of weapons of mass destruction to Iraq and Saddam. I think we ended up doing something. I think maybe, was it his kid that later invaded Iraq? We'll get to all of that. We're going to bring on JS reporter Rory Linane after these brief messages. You're going to hear news, weather, and sports. But I will be coming back to this because we need to tell the rest of the story of the corruption of Bill Barr and then tie it all together with what is the scariest Supreme Court oral argument that I have ever heard just last week. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Your news, weather, and sports are next.
News from the Center, WRCE. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Trump is back in court. I'll feel better about that. And he's coming to Waukesha on Wednesday. Tune in, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's.
Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.